In turning to Jeremiah chapter number 2, Jeremiah chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. There are some of you this evening, when you go home, you can call people up and you can say, "You never guess what I got to do at church tonight. I got to sing with a big choir." And you'd be telling the truth. Just say right there at the last verse, "I just stood up in front of everybody and just belted it out. Choir behind me just singing. It's like I've never heard before in my life." Well, it's good to see you this evening, and I trust that as we meet in the midst of a busy week, that the Lord will use His Word to help our hearts. I don't know how many times I've come to church on a Wednesday night, a little bit tired, sometimes irritable, and left a lot better off than I came. And it was because I heard from the Lord. And I hope that tonight that'll be true. And I hope after the service you'll be sure to meet some of our students. And you can tell it's sort of an international group that we have here. And they come from all over. But they have one thing that knits their hearts together, and that's a desire to serve the Lord. And I appreciate so much their willingness to give up of their spring break so that they could travel, we could travel together and be in these churches and Christian schools this week. Jeremiah chapter number 2, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, Jeremiah writes, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, and a land which no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. And after that indictment, the Lord says in verse 9, Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." And for the next few moments, I want you to see what God recalls about the nation of Israel. There was a time in Israel's past where God saw them and He said, "You are very pleasant. But it wasn't their past that mattered the most. It was where they were at presently. Their hearts were cold." Have you ever heard some of the old timers talk about the good old days? Do you know what I've found the older I've gotten? The more I talk about the good old days. The very things that I said that I would not do as a kid, as I listened to the older men reminisce, that's the very thing that I find myself doing today. I can still remember, as a kid, my dad setting me up on a stainless steel pop soda box, had sliding stainless steel doors, and used to have glass Cokes in them. And I would sit on top of that, and I would listen to the old men at the local convenience store spin yarns, and only God knew if half of what they said was true. And I would hear them talk about the good old days. They would talk about the way that things used to be, and I used to love to sit and listen to that, and it was almost like those fellas were living their best days all over again. Oh, don't you remember the good old days when we sat out on the porch and we're carefree, and before they left, they would gripe about how they had to go home and do their chores and such. And it was, as I listened to it as a kid, I thought, well, man, your best days are behind you. And sometimes we sound that way when we reminisce, but you know, it's truly sad when a person's best days spiritually are behind them. And I think there's a number of people in our pews, although they may not realize it, sometimes they look back in the past and that was their best day spiritually. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you of something, and I want to be very dogmatic about it. I believe that God wants the best of your life to be right now. You might look back and say, here was a time when I was on fire for God, but tonight I find myself cold. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. God looks back into their past and says, you were great here. God looks at their present and says, your heart is cold here. And in spite of their coldness, God says to them, but listen, I'm going to plead with you. And so tonight I want you to take a good hard look at Israel. And I want you to take a good long look at your heart. And ask yourself the question, are my best days spiritually behind me? And if so, why? And seek to have those returned tonight. Now to see how what God is saying to Israel, the first thing I want you to see is their past condition. And I want you to know how the Lord describes the past condition of Israel. God is going to say, Israel, this is what you used to be like. And I want you to see it in the passage. Notice in verse 2, the prophet Jeremiah is to say, thus saith the Lord, he said, I remember thee and the kindness of thy youth. God said, Israel, when I look back at you in a figurative sense, I see the kindness of your youth. Think about that picture for me just literally, physically. You know, youth has a kindness to it, doesn't it? Think with me for a moment. Unlimited amounts of energy when you were young. Remember those days? When you played for hours and hours and hours. When your energy seemed to be endless. And some of you today say, I just get tired thinking about that. But you know, youth has a kindness to it. And God says, Israel, when I look back at your past, I see your energy. I see the kindness of your youth. That's how you used to be. And then he continues on. He says, not only the kindness of thy youth, but he said, I remember the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. God said, not only do I remember you when you were pleasant, he said, I remember when you were passionate. I remember the love of your espousals. You know, I'm a little bit hesitant to describe this tonight because I have college students with me that travel in two vans. And when you talk about love and you talk about that stuff, sometimes the sap begins to rise. But I'm going to go off on a limb tonight. To some of you married couples, can I ask you, do you remember those younger days, those early days, what they were like? Do you remember when those early days of you pursuing her? How maybe perhaps you didn't eat. How sometimes you just were a little bit depressed. Why? Because you didn't see her. Now, nowadays, relationship building is a lot different than it was years ago. We used to actually write notes and look at each other in the eye. Now people look at their phones and send texts and all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, guys, flowers will do something that an emoji could never do. So just keep that in mind. But do you remember those early days? Do you remember the sweetness of them? And you're like, man, it's been a while since I've got... Well, life gets a little more complicated. These things called children come. Mortgage payments, car payments, and it keeps us a lot busier. But you remember those early days? We had a college professor for years. He would tell the story how that he liked his wife in high school, but she did not like him. And he would just conveniently be where she was, and she was so aggravated by that. But he had made up his mind. He said, you know what? She can't leave what won't leave her. And believe it or not, eventually they got married. Now she looks back at that with a smile on her face, but at times she probably wanted to kill him. There's probably some stories like that here tonight, but you know, God talks about, He's talking there about a human relationship. He draws a picture. He said, I remember when you chased after me. You know, sometimes I think that's a lot like the first love that we read about in Revelation chapter 2. When the church of Ephesus, who did everything right, I mean, they had great discernment. I'm going to tell you, they worked until they were bone tired, but here was the grave mistake. They left their first love. And it may be some of us tonight, God looks back in the past and He says, boy, I remember when we used to meet together. I remember when you chased after me. You see, not only does He say they're pleasant, not only does He say they're passionate, but God looks at them and He says, you know what? I remember when you were pure. Verse number 3, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. God looked at Israel and He said, I remember a time when you were separated unto me. Listen, do not be afraid of the word separated. The world makes you think that if you live separated, you're a kook. I'm going to tell you, what matters is who you're separated unto. And when you choose to be separated unto God, I will tell you, that is the right separation. And here we find that He says, I remember when you were separated unto me. And I may be speaking to some of us tonight. There was a time in our lives spiritually where we desired to be away from the things of the world. And tonight those things are close and they don't bother us nearly as much as they used to. Israel, there was a time when wickedness bothered you, but now your hearts are cold. Listen, I want to ask you tonight, does God look back at your past and say, you know, there was a time, boy, you were pure and you were pleasant and you were passionate about me, and that's all been in the past? God never intended for your Christianity to be in the past tense. I want to tell you again, He wants your best days spiritually to be right now. And if they're not, it's not His fault, it's ours. But not only does God talk about Israel's past condition, He says, this is what you used to be like. I want you to notice their present coldness. In several verses, God says, this is where your heart is at. You know, on occasion, and this is only a labor of love, but on occasion, I will go to with my wife or my daughter to a mall. Now, I don't like to share that all the time, but it does happen. And on those infrequent occasions, one of the first things I do is I go to this kiosk that has a map on it. And while she's looking for the department stores, I'm looking for the food court. But every time I look at a map in order to figure out where I'm at, I'm always looking for one star and it has three words by it. You are here. Because I realize without that bearing, it's not going to be good. I've got to see where I'm at in order to determine where I need to be. I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight and there's a coldness that's settled into your heart, the best thing you can do is find out where you're at, you be honest about it, and that's the first step to getting to where you need to be. Now, where is Israel? All right, notice where their heart's at. In a moment here, in verses 5 and following, God is going to ask a series of questions. You remember growing up when your parents asked you questions, and they asked us questions that were never intended to be answered? Questions like this, do you want a spanking? How about this one? Do you want me to give you something to really cry about? Do you want me to come up there? Listen, those questions were never intended to be answered. And God's about to ask some questions. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's one thing when your parents ask you a question, but when God asks you a question, you better listen because He's trying to teach you something. Notice with me in verse 5, thus saith the Lord. Now, here's what God says again. Where is the Lord that brought you up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits? Notice, or excuse me, that's verse 6. Verse 5. What iniquities have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me? You know what God was saying? What have I done to you to cause you to go that way? What have you found in me? You know, sometimes human relationships are separated. Why? Because a party in that relationship does something foolish and they push the other person away. But in our relationship with God, you can mark it down. He has never done one thing to push us away. Never one time has God done something foolish or unloving or uncaring for us and has sinned against us. He said, what have I done to cause this? The answer is nothing. And then he says that your fathers have found in me that are gone far from me. That word, that phrase, far from me, gets my attention. You know why? Because God is telling Israel, he said, you know what? There's some distance between you and me. He said, you've gone far from me. That's a dangerous place to be. I hear people talking about traveling to major cities like San Francisco and Chicago and even D.C. And you say there's some parts in every one of those towns you just don't want to be in. And while I respect your opinion tonight, I want to tell you the most dangerous place to be is to be in one of these pews and be far from God. And it's possible for us to be far from God, and we may look the part and we may be in the right place. And tonight, God Almighty says, listen, there was a time when you were much more fervent about serving me and you loved me more and there, your heart was aflame. And tonight, you, like Israel, have gone far from me and walked after vanity. You know what vanity is? It's nothing. Let me give you a good illustration of vanity. Cotton candy. It's nothing. I can easily just, you know, tell you what the label's supposed to be, the nutritional value. Nothing. 400 grams of sugar and every other line is a zero. Nothing. It makes you get tired fast, makes your teeth rot out, but boy, it sure does taste good. God says, Israel, you know what you've done? You've gone after everything that doesn't matter. And there's some of you tonight, listen, you're here on a Wednesday night, and I'm glad you are. I think it's one of the best church services sometimes. Being beaten up by the world, and you come around God's people, and they smile at you on a Wednesday night. That alone is a big encouragement. But you may be here on a Wednesday night, and you know what? You find yourself walking after vanity. You're being pulled this way and this way. And God looks down at you tonight and is trying to point out the coldness that's in your heart. He's given you all kinds of blessings, and your heart has just cast that out to the side. God had given Israel so much. He delivered them across the Red Sea. He had delivered them from Egypt. He had given them a land, and yet they were so unthankful for it. I wonder if there's some of us here tonight, there's a little bit of Israelite in us. And we'd say, you know what, I'll tell you, there is a coldness that's in my heart. You may be in a church pew, but you know your heart's far from Him. I may be speaking to somebody on this Wednesday night. You want to know how far your heart is. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you, you're a long ways from where you need to be. And there's only one way that you can get to where you need to be. And that's when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way of forgiveness. There's only one way to peace. There's only one way to God. And His name is Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, listen to me. You can never get to this point where Israel needed to be until, first of all, you come to the cross. But tonight God tells them about their past condition. He tells them about their present coldness. But the last thing I want you to see tonight is God gives them a pleading cry. What do you do when somebody hurts you? This is where you decide, I don't want to answer that. Let me say it this way. What do you feel like doing? when somebody does something to you and hurts you. It's like one day I was in the car with my son, my oldest son. We were sitting in the car one day and I said, "Son, let's play a game." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Let's play who can hit the softest." He said, "The softest?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll tell you what, you go first." Boy, he reared back and it took like what seemed like 30 minutes. And finally, he just got up to my shirt sleeve and he barely nicked it. And he gave me that look of, "That's pretty good." I looked at him and I said, "Boy, that was really good, son. That's going to be hard to beat." I said, "All right, it's my turn." And he put his shoulder out there and I reared back and popped him about as hard as I could. And I did that. I looked at him and I said, "Oops, I guess you win and I lose." And you know what? After I did that, that boy looked at me and those blue eyes turned into fire. He said, "Let's play again." "And you go first." Now, before you go to condemning him, he takes after his father. That's why he's vengeful. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. I'm glad God's not that way. The truth is, any Christian in this room worth a nickel would have to admit there's been times where you've wandered from God and where you've shamed and soiled His name, and yet God pled with you. Instead of destroying you, instead of giving you the boot, God Almighty pled with you. Can I tell you, if you're here tonight and you found distance between you and God, listen to me. He is pleading with you tonight. When I think about that, I think, who am I for God to plead with me? I am a speck of dirt on this big earth. I am not even like a star that's in the universe. I am of the least significance, and yet God Almighty chooses to plead with me. He said, "Wherefore, I will yet plead with you." That's a strong way of putting it. When I was a kid growing up, my dad drank heavily, and as a result, it caused some chaos in our household. And I can at least remember twice in my childhood where my dad told my mom that he was leaving her and he was preparing to leave. And in both of those cases, I can still remember as a young kid draping my arms around his neck with burning tears, and pleading and pleading and pleading. Now, in both of those cases, he ended up not leaving. But I'm going to tell you, I still remember the emotion in my heart as a kid. I remember the concern that I had, and I pled and I begged with my dad to stay. And when I see the fact that God pleads with those who have wandered from Him, I'm going to tell you, that is just a tender, tender thing to me. You're here this evening and there's things in your heart that's not right. You've let your heart get cold by the world or get cold with the things of the world. And you've decided, you know, I just think I'd be better off doing these things. And you're not in the Bible. You're not in prayer. And there's a God tonight that says, "I'm going to plead with you. I want you." And He says, not only, "Wherefore will I plead with you, saith the Lord." But notice the end of that verse, He says this, "And with your children's children will I plead." You want to know how serious God is in pleading with Israel? He said, "Listen, I'm so serious about this, I'm going to plead with you and I'm going to plead with your children's children." And that shows the depth of just how much God was pleading with them. As a kid riding a school bus in high school, there was a fellow who lived in our small town in the South who was from New Jersey. You can imagine that was a baptism of culture on his part. But the thing I remember about Thomas is you could never get the last word on him. And he had a descriptive way of saying things sometimes. He really knew how to get his point across. I remember there was a kid on our school bus. They were aggravating Thomas, and he was aggravating Thomas, and Thomas just had enough. And Thomas stood up and he took that big fist of his and he looked at that boy and he said, "Son, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to hit you so hard that your grandchildren are going to have black eyes." I can still remember leaning down below the seat, smirking and laughing, but being careful not to shake because of the tenseness of the moment. I did not want to be misread because it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Now, for you literalists, you're like, would he really hit them? No, he really wouldn't hit them that hard. He would hit them hard, but not hard enough for the black grandchildren to have black eyes. But you know what he was emphasizing? He was emphasizing the depth of just how serious he was. Listen, it wasn't just a figurative sense. I believe it was literal. God said, listen, I'll plead with you and I'll plead with your children's children. I'm not going to let you go. Can I tell you, if a God is pleading with you tonight like that, why would you turn him away? There's not a thing that the world promises you that is any better than what God will give you. And tonight it may be that you need to swallow your pride. You're not in the rescue mission. You're not out of church. But you know that your heart is far away. I'm telling you, there's a God who's pleading with you tonight. He wants you. Boy, I pray that it not be the case that there'd be individuals here tonight. You're living in the past. You talk about what you did in the past, how you served God in the past. I remember when I was a teenager, I was on visitation with a friend of mine. We knocked on a door and a man came to the door and we told him who we were, what church we were from. And he looked at us and he said, well, fellas, he said, have you ever heard of a guy named Lester Roloff? Now, me and this other fellow, we were young, aspiring preacher boys, seniors in high school. And I was like, yeah, I know who Lester Roloff is. He was a Southern preacher who, although he'd been dead for years, I listened to on the radio and I loved the way he would say things. One time there was a woman who came to him after service and she said, Brother Roloff, you're narrow-minded. And he looked at her and said, well, I'm on a narrow way. And he turned around and walked off. Just had a way about him. And he said, you know who Lester Roloff is? We were like, yeah. He said, years ago, he said, I worked with Lester Roloff. And for about 20 minutes, we couldn't even get a word in edgewise. He was talking about working with this famous preacher, at least in our eyes, one who had started a girls' home. He had fought the Texas government for religious freedom. And I mean, this guy was legendary. And we're listening to all these stories. He said, yeah, and we went here with the honeybees group from the girls' home and this. And we were just spellbound. We were like, wow, this is great. And finally, when I got a word in edgewise, I looked at him and I said, man, that's wonderful. I said, where do you go to church? And he looked at us and he hung his head. And he said, I don't go anymore. You know what? There was a guy who was living in the past. There's some former Bible college students. They're living in the past. There's people that I love dearly. Their best days seemingly are behind them, but it's not God's fault. And on this Wednesday night, when you hear an ensemble sing, I believe that God Almighty is pleading with us. And he's saying, don't you live in the past. Let the best days of your life be right now spiritually. But you're going to have to be willing to find out where you're at on that map. If you're ever going to get to where you need to be, you better see where you're at. And I can't think of a better time to humble our hearts than tonight, in the midst of a busy week, and say, Lord, there's some distance between us. But I'm glad you're pleading with me, and tonight you come back to Him. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our heads are bowed tonight. There's two questions I'd like to ask you. Number one, I wonder if there's anybody here this evening and you'd say this. You'd say, Alton, I'm here tonight, and one of two things is true. I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved. You'd say, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved. I'm talking to some people here. You say, I've never been close to God. And tonight, you know that your need, it's just not really just simply to get right with God as a Christian, but your need is to be saved. Listen, God's pleading with you tonight. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's God's pleading with you. And you'd say, Alton, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved. Tonight, God's dealing in my heart. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right where you're at? Just slip it up high long enough for me to see it. God bless you. Thank you. You may put it down. Anybody else as I wait just a moment? You see, tonight, God loves you so much that He's let you hear this message and He's given you the opportunity to come to Him. In a few moments, we're going to stand together and our heads will be bowed, our eyes will be closed, and I'm going to give an invitation. And whether you raised your hand or not, if you're here tonight and you'd say, Alton, tonight I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved, listen, there's a God in heaven that's pleading for you and He's begging you to come. I hope you'll come tonight. You have nothing to be ashamed of when God's working in your heart. Now, the last question I'd like to ask is, I wonder if there's some Christians here this evening, and you'd say, Brother Beal, I'm saved and I know it. There's no doubt in my mind, but I'm going to tell you tonight, the Lord has pointed out some present coldness in my life, and I know there's some distance between me and the Lord. And tonight, the Lord has convicted me in my heart. I know that some of my best days spiritually have really been behind me, and it's not the Lord's fault, it's mine. And you'd say, tonight, God has shown me where I'm at on the map. And you'd say, Brother Beal is a Christian. There's been some coldness in my heart, and God's pleading with me tonight. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? There's several here tonight. God bless you. You may put them down. In a moment, we're going to stand together, and I'm going to pray. And as soon as I'm done, I'm going to ask our pianist to begin playing. If you're here tonight and you want to deal with this matter of salvation, I'm going to encourage you to leave your seat in a moment, and Pastor will be here at the front. Would you come and say a word to him, and he'll have somebody take you aside and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Christian, if you're here tonight and God's dealt in your heart, He's pleading with you, listen, don't you re-enter this week and go into another day without coming to the Lord who's pleading for you. And leave here tonight where you ought to be. I hope you'll humble yourself this evening. If you're able, would you join me in standing? Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, tonight, Lord, my prayer is just very simple. May you help us all to come to you in whatever form we need to. Lord, I pray for this one tonight that is unsure about salvation. Lord, in a moment, just with no hesitation, I pray he'd come. Thank you for working in his life tonight. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters that are here this evening, that, Lord, they've sensed the coldness that the Holy Spirit has convicted them of. Lord, I know that feeling because it's happened to me too. Lord, would you help us to humble ourselves tonight? May we leave here with a heart that's free and one that's drawing nigh to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our pianist begins to play tonight. I would like to give you the invitation to come. Would you do that? Would you just step ahead right now and come? If you're here and the question's about salvation, I want you to see Pastor. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm a Christian, God's dealing in my heart, listen, I encourage you to come. If you need to, would you just come tonight? In a few moments, we'll be done. But let it be said that we have drawn closer to God. Our song tonight is, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. It's a song that ought to be our prayer in every service. In a few moments, we'll be done. But I want you to let God have His way in your heart tonight. Let's not leave without knowing that we've obeyed Him. As you go out this week, know that your relationship with God is thriving, that there's no distance between the two of you. Would you let God have His way?